Shannon Galpin writes for National Geographic and elsewhere about, among other things, riding bikes in places where women have never ridden them. Those places are in Afghanistan, and Galpin's new book, Mountain to Mountain, subtitled A Journey of Adventure and Activism for the Women of Afghanistan, provides insight into the circumstances of the women who live there, and at least one, the author, who has been determined to change those circumstances. Shannon, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you so much for having me.
Quite early in Mountain to Mountain, you write, I didn't go to Afghanistan planning to ride a mountain bike. What was your plan when you first went there, and how did mountain biking eventually come into it?
Well, I first went to Afghanistan to work on behalf of women. My focus was women's rights and gender violence, and I chose Afghanistan simply because it was repeatedly ranked the worst place in the world to be a woman. The mountain biking didn't come into play until about a year and a half later, after several visits to Afghanistan, where I realized that, one, it was a country where women and girls were not allowed to ride bikes, one of the few countries in the world where that is the case. Mm-hmm. And two, I am an avid mountain biker. I live in Colorado. And I was incredibly curious to explore the goat paths and mountain passes on two wheels. And I wondered if, as a foreign woman, which is often considered an honorary man, this kind of neutral gender, if perhaps I could challenge that gender barrier and ask more questions about why can't women ride bikes? What is the controversy? Why is it a taboo?
Yeah, you mentioned that you found as a foreign woman you were considered what you term a hybrid gender. What exactly were the implications of that?
It's a really fascinating situation to be in. Pretty much if you look foreign as a woman, you are considered an equal to the men. Almost all men will eat with you, drink with you, you make plans with them. And as they are often the gatekeepers in these rural communities to what you can or cannot do for the local women or girls, it's incredibly advantageous to be able to be considered an equal, and yet to also, because I am a woman, have full access to the women and girls where often foreign men would not have that access. And what I hear from the men and then what I hear from the women are often very different conversations.
In one of the villages where you rode, an Afghan man said to you, it takes a lot of intelligence to ride a bike. I've never seen a woman do it. Tell us why you wrote that this was, and I'm quoting, perhaps the most significant statement any Afghan man had made to me about women riding bikes.
I'm riding his crazy bike that has literally a little windmill on it and speakers and a dried flower in a vase mounted to the handlebar and brakes that don't work. He's basically sliding Flintstone style with his feet along the floor. And he hands it to me almost as a little, you know, friendly challenge. He laughs and smiles and I ride off and circle around, come back. He's fascinated. And when he says that statement, I said, you know, well, would your family members ever try riding a bike? And he just shook his head, oh, no, you know, we would never allow that, or that's not our culture. And I looked at him, and that just that statement about the intelligence it takes to ride a bike, as though that's the reason, was fascinating. And it's just one more, I guess, insight as to this taboo.
You write at one point, I had to crack jokes to keep from wallowing in the insanity around me. What were you protecting yourself from when you found you had to crack jokes?
Oh, I think everything. It's an incredibly difficult country to work in and invest your emotional life in. The everyday backdrop on which everyday life occurs is heartbreaking. You know, suicide bombs and landmines. You know, I've almost stepped on landmines riding my mountain bike in areas that are supposedly clear. You know, the Afghans say, well, we lose a couple of kids every year when the snows melt, but it's 100% clear. And while I see amazing progress for women around the country, and I see more girls in school, and I see women running for parliament and women governing provinces in Bamiyan running for president, the majority of women are incredibly oppressed. You know, they're living in dire circumstances with very little rights. And I meet women who are in women's prisons under morality crimes, often victims of rape and charged under adultery. And when you look at all of those things, that daily reminder of how hard life is and how much you want to see progress, how much you want to see change. I myself have a very dark humor, and that to me is the best possible way to just preserve my sanity.
At the end of Mountain to Mountain, you write about a women's cycling team in Afghanistan. How did that come to be, and what is the significance of that development?
So I started mountain biking there back in 2009, and I was always looking to see if there would be other girls somewhere that might be riding, not necessarily for sport, but I was curious if bikes could be used as a vehicle for social justice like they are in other parts of the world, where girls can ride bikes to school, midwives can ride bikes. It's used as a great tool against gender violence by providing transportation. And it was a complete fluke that a friend of mine, a journalist in Kabul, mentioned he'd met a young man who was on the men's national cycling team, and did I want to meet him? And when I met the coach, there was a young woman with him, and I asked to be introduced to her, and it turned out that Miriam was not only his assistant, but also the leader of the women's team. No one I knew had ever heard of a women's team. Very few Afghans knew there was a women's team. Essentially, the coach had decided to start a women's team because he had a daughter, and he thought that she should be able to ride a bike the same as men. As his daughters learned to ride, he started to outreach into his community and ask if others would allow their girls to try to learn to ride. And now there's an incredible momentum within the women in their late teens that are just curious.
Tell me a little bit about your future plans as far as Afghanistan is concerned.
Well, I am working to continue to support the women's national cycling team and also the other little pockets where Afghan women, completely unaware there even is a team, are learning to ride bikes and teach each other. And with the team in particular, what they are doing is incredibly risky. They're the first women to ever ride bikes. They are threatened. They are insulted. This is obviously a sport you can't do closed off. What they're doing is inherently public. So I'm looking at ways to, how do we mitigate their risk by, for example, getting the money to buy them a minibus and a bike rack so that they can travel to other areas where there's safety. And so really my focus is how to grow the sport so that through the sport we could normalize bikes for rural girls to use as transportation. That will take time. That will take years. But also, how do we mitigate the risk of those young girls who are taking the risk to ride?
Shannon Galpin is the author of Mountain to Mountain, A Journey of Adventure and Activism for the Women of Afghanistan. And she joined me from WBEZ in Chicago. Shannon, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.